Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specialises in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. We're looking at potential undercurrents, energetic dissonances, anything that might contribute to priming you to suffer from an asthmatic attack. On my Future Self Energetic Show today. Today on my show, I'm exploring many of the potential contributing factors that I recognise when I'm working with clients on their asthma symptoms. What sets off an attack? And how can they reduce or even prevent an attack before it's upon them? Asthma is complicated, it's complex, and on my show today I'm going to be focusing on some lesser known energetic contributors that could be factors associated with those asthma attacks. Asthma, we're looking at it from an energetic perspective. Perhaps if any of these contributing factors is something that you begin to recognise, well, maybe they'll give you one of those aha moments. And that could send you onto a healing journey that is really beneficial for you. Now, if this is something that interests you, maybe you live with asthma yourself or you know someone that does, well, you're very welcome. I'm glad you're here. So then, asthma symptoms are about coughing, wheezing, they're about shortness of breath, feeling out of breath or gasping for breath, not being able to breathe out fully, maybe breathing faster than normal too, breathing problems, tightness in the chest and in the throat. Now I'm looking at this from conception to the age of six, energetically, how you can become primed to suffer asthma attacks. So from conception to the age of six is actually when I believe asthma can be energetically primed within an energy field. There's so much I could say, so much I could share with you about this, far too much really to cover in one show. So what I'm going to do is to dip into the wealth of information I've got and just introduce some of the more common triggers. I hope that's okay. In other words, not everything that contributes to energetic priming for asthma will be in this one show. Just the more common triggers that I've become aware of in my own clients' energy field when I've observed that, or what I've learned from other master energists I know. So this will be a start then. When I'm observing energy fields, I see asthma. Then it sits like energetic dissonances in an energy field. And they're usually found in the same energetic spaces. So for example, I would always look in an electromagnetic field for those dissonances, those asthma dissonances. I would look in the energy shields for the dissonances. And also I'd look in the chakras as well. I mean, yes, there are other spaces, but let's today begin talking about these. So in the electromagnetic field, for example, this is a fairly complicated, complex energy field, and it carries our feelings, our perceptions really, about how safe we feel in the universe. You know, it answers the question, is this universe a safe place for me to be? Well, in a person with asthma, there is often a part of that energy field that is not functioning optimally at all, and it sends the answer back to this question, no, this universe is not safe, or at least it's not safe for you. Your electromagnetic field is templated. It's templated for the first 6 years to the electromagnetic fields of whoever is caring for you the most, whoever you spend most of your time with. So at the age of about six, what is supposed to happen is your electromagnetic field is mature enough for you to then disengage from, say, I don't know, your mum and dad's electromagnetic field or your granny and grandpa's electromagnetic field, if they're the ones that you spent most of your time with. It disconnects and you become sovereign. You map to their perception, though, of the universe whilst you are attached, whilst your electromagnetic field is templated. And if they feel overwhelm during your first early years, then you will have it in your electromagnetic field as well. If they feel sad or angry or happy or joyful, so will you too. The thing is, though, whatever happens when you disengage your electromagnetic field from theirs, it's been templated. And if there's something in there that's particularly strong or has happened quite a lot, then you will hold it in your own electromagnetic field as if it's yours. Another of the energy fields is, I would say, the energy shields. And this is your spiritual, your psychic, mental, emotional, sensual, physical, cosmic, all these shields, they work on autopilot. And they often trigger far too quickly with people that suffer from asthma, or that's my observation. Some of the shields also trigger in anticipation of a situation too. So it doesn't matter if the situation hasn't even happened yet. These shields create that kind of overwhelm, and when they do, in comes the asthma attack. So we've got two things so far that we're looking at. We've got the electromagnetic field and also the energy shields. I have to say that because asthma is often associated with being put in a position where we feel really uncomfortable and we feel overwhelmed by it, and it creates this kind of frozen inertia in us, asthma can, if we're not careful, may unconsciously become used to impose boundaries that you might not have been able to impose in any other way. So if you couldn't do this in childhood, you might find this in adulthood. I thought I'd just pop this in whilst we're talking about it now. So, for example, if you have an asthma attack now, does this in any way make you able to escape or become free from a situation that otherwise would feel too overwhelming or stifling or rushed or uncomfortable or competitive for you? You know, if that's how you're feeling, then that's in your shields too. So on the show today, we're going to be looking at how you can be primed for asthma up until the age of around about 6. It makes sense because really that also then encompasses a lot of what will happen in the electromagnetic field. And I'm going to be telling you where this can be observed in the energy systems that move in through and around the body. I think it might be great if we start right at the beginning. Let's go right to the point of conception, the time when you're inside your mum and you go through pregnancy, and also the time when after you've been born up until about the age of 6. So that's what I'm going to cover, but we're going to look at pregnancy first. You know, so much happens around the time our mum is pregnant with us. Emotions, hormones are in a helter-skelter, or at least mine were certainly jangled and all over the place. So your mum's electromagnetic field is helter-skeltered as well at this time. And that affects the electromagnetic field of the baby. Okay? You don't have to be inside your mum for your electromagnetic field to be affected by her. But when you're inside her, it's almost as if that confined space that you're in makes the electromagnetic field much more strongly templated. Now, imagine you're inside your mum, and let's say your mum's not feeling very balanced and harmonious in and of herself for any number of reasons. It's not deliberate. It just happens when you're pregnant. Perhaps she feels really emotional. Perhaps the circumstances, I don't know, around her pregnancy left her feeling a bit overwhelmed in some way. To the little human embryo floating in the womb, they will be picking up and also responding to whatever their electromagnetic field is telling them, even if really it has nothing to do with them. And so the developing baby can't avoid the waves of energy that they're surrounded by. Some energy fields are completely out of our control until we're a little bit older. And this is conscious and unconscious control as well. So little ones in the womb can't differentiate between what is them and what is not them. They can't do it anyway because they're only just developing as little humans. They don't have the process to be able to analyse or consider in the way perhaps that you and I might be able to. And there's no proof of that, of course. I suppose it's an assumption. But in general, I would say that a little one, certainly energetically, are going to find it challenging to be able to differentiate between what is theirs and what is not theirs. Yeah, especially as I found, a lot of asthmatics are empaths. They'll absorb everything in the womb, if that's the case, and then they'll respond to it most definitely as if it's their own. Now, if mum's angry for whatever reason, and that anger is in the electromagnetic field, then the baby is going to feel anger because their own electromagnetic field shifts and aligns with their mum's. And if mum's upset, the baby's going to feel upset. If mum feels overwhelmed, the baby feels overwhelmed. If mum feels under pressure, the baby feels under pressure. What happens during the time you're being carried in your mum's womb will change your electromagnetic field. And for some, this affects them really deeply and they become more disposed to asthma. Imagine yourself then as this little sparkly bean of a being inside your mum's womb, and you're responding to her emotions as if they're your own. You'll be responding perhaps to dad's emotions because you'll be around his electromagnetic field, or perhaps his siblings or grandparents that are around. But predominantly when you're inside your mum, you're going to be responding to her electromagnetic field. So For example, during pregnancy, did your mum suffer with really tough morning sickness? Perhaps the overwhelm of being sick all the time left your mum feeling very overwhelmed. I remember being so very sick that I could hardly breathe when I was pregnant with my third child. I felt overwhelmed and anxious when I started to be ill. I loved being pregnant, love having kids, but didn't love being sick all the time. Morning sickness for me, it made no sense because I was sick morning, noon, night. Now, whatever I was going through, my little one was going through it as well. So what happens if a child has a mum like that? Well, think about the little baby inside the womb when the mum was having the worst imaginable morning sickness. Would that child be primed by this to the extent that they might become asthmatic? The little one inside me couldn't really process what emotion I was feeling, and yet they were immersed in it. All she knew, because this is my daughter, was that something didn't feel right. And in response, she probably felt trapped and constricted and afraid. And a tightening happened and she couldn't quite explain or process it. And maybe she picked up my feelings of sickness but didn't know what that was. It simply didn't feel right or harmonious in the space she was in. Now, later in life, she might have been exposed to one or more triggers and boom, her first asthma attack arrives. Now, this isn't with my daughter, but I do have a client that has an asthma attack and she always feels sick just before it comes on. And then she gets the overwhelm and then she feels the constriction. Because these are the kinds of symptoms that you get. Could these in any way be related? It's interesting, isn't it? I think they are. Energetically, the electromagnetic field shows me that the two go hand in hand. It's not necessarily conscious and there's not a great deal you can do about it during the time. It's not deliberate after all. But I think they are related. And I think when you make corrections in the electromagnetic field so that the electromagnetic field is no longer templated in quite the same way, and when you make corrections in the way the energy shields are, when they become more balanced and they don't trigger, then I think it's not unreasonable to assume that you might be able to reduce the priming of or triggering of asthmatic attacks, because energetically they must be contributing. They must be, because I see them there and I've seen them too many times associated with asthma for me to believe that they couldn't be. Anyway, not everyone is going to share identical experiences in the womb, and it may or may not predispose the little baby and in turn enable them to have some kind of trigger. Not everyone's going to respond in the same way to the same experiences or triggers. I think that's what I'm saying. So I'm just giving examples today. And if you suffer with asthma attacks, find out about what was happening when you were conceived and during the pregnancy. Could there be similar triggers that you can associate with your own asthma attacks? Is there anything that's similar about them? If there is, then you could work on that. You could go on a healing journey and find a way of clearing that in your energy field. Or go and visit a master energist. They'd be able to help you with it as well. Actually, if I can for a minute just go right back to the point of conception. From observations I've come across before, maybe the little egg was fine, right at the point where the egg and the sperm are about to meet, maybe the little egg was fine. But by the time the sperm arrived to fertilise the eggs, the little sperm felt completely overwhelmed and far too rushed. The little sperm would feel exhausted just at the point it arrived at the egg. The first energy surrounding the union of that fertilised egg then would be of overwhelm and of being really rushed. And those are two resonances that always seem to go hand in hand with an asthma attack. If this is wrong, please let me know. Or if you feel it's right, let me know that too. Email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. You know, we're looking for patterns. And the more of these patterns that we can uncover, the more we can help each other. So do you feel or do you experience feeling overwhelmed and rushed? Is that a trigger that brings on an asthma attack for you? Maybe it's being overwhelmed and rushed, but for a slightly different reason. I mean, maybe your mum went into labour and it progressed super fast. You know, I had such long, slow labours, but one of my sisters didn't. Hers were really, really fast. And her labour was so fast that she had hardly enough time to get in a car and get to the hospital. I mean, can you imagine it? Everyone around her must have been saying, hold on, don't have the baby yet, don't push. And there the baby would be on the way, but picking up on all the anxiety and everybody saying, slow down. And at the other end of the scale is the labour that I had. I mean, the one that really needed to be hurried up, if I'm honest. Everyone wanted it to happen faster. It went on for hours and days. So I was finally induced and my little one ended up being delivered, helped along with forceps. Now, what energetic ripples might that have sent into the little one in the womb? That little one was told, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Now, funnily enough, I will say my son, because it was him that I'm talking about who was the particularly long labour. He's still super slow. Of my three children, he's the one that I would say is the least happy to be rushed. And it's not that he's slow in that he doesn't do things. It's just that he likes to consider it. Yeah, he doesn't want to be rushed. Anyway, he gets it done really, really well, but it might not be as fast as you want it to. It's always in his own time. I'm not criticising him. I'm just observing it. It's funny, isn't it? That how he is now is exactly how he was on the day he was born. Now, as long as he's able to take the time he wants to take, he's fine. But, and this is what's so interesting, even when he's rushed, though he doesn't like it, he doesn't have an asthma attack. So they're not necessarily going to go hand in hand. It didn't affect him in quite the same way as it can with others. So there must be other things that are coming into it as well. Now, if the first message coming through while you were in your mum's womb was an anxious, hurry up, or an overwhelmed, slow down, then either way, it may contribute to the potential that primes you for asthma. So what are other womb-like associations? Well, maybe the womb felt a bit too big. Maybe there was too much fluid around you and you didn't feel secure enough. Maybe alternatively, the womb felt a bit too small. Maybe you were quite large and it all felt a bit too tight, too snug and containing and constraining. Maybe you wanted to move and stretch, but you couldn't. I often find that clients with asthma have some kind of anxiety associated with the moment that they took their first breath as well. Now, with my son, there was no anxiety the moment he took his first breath. I wonder if that contributed to the fact that he was not primed. Now, perhaps that first breath you took was slow or too fast, or maybe it felt painful when you did it, or maybe you were prevented from taking that initial breath until the midwives and the doctors and nurses were absolutely sure that the airway was fully cleared. I apply balancing corrections to these types of energy blocks, and whoosh, there's always a massive shift from within their lung space, but it comes from the lung space. Their airways can sometimes need clearing, and also their throat energetically. But actually, when I'm doing breath work, it's always the lung space that shifts. Anything that affects the natural breath at birth, that first breath, or shortly afterwards, can often contribute to asthma on an energetic level. Even something as simple as if the baby's wrapped up too tightly in the blanket just after they're born, you know, bound up too tight, it can create that trigger for the future because the baby feels out of control and overwhelmed and unable to do what it wants to do, which is to fill its lungs. And I remember my mum telling me about a book on childcare by a doctor called Dr. Spock that she had. I remember it actually sitting on the top of the fridge in our house when we lived in Sussex. That was many years later. And the book was called The Common Sense Book of Baby and Childcare. And it was a book by an American paediatrician giving guidance and advice on how to parent. And it was one of the best-selling books of the 20th century, actually. Now, Dr. Spock's advice concerning sleep training was that if your baby woke after you'd put them in their bed, you should use what he called the cry-it-out method. The cure is simple, Dr. Spock said. All you do is put the baby to bed at a reasonable hour, say goodnight affectionately but firmly, walk out of the room, but don't go back. Now, for many babies, this approach could have been absolutely fine. I mean, obviously, they might not have liked it, but it was all right. But for others, it might have sent out resonances that they might interpret as rejection and abandonment, and certainly their needs not being met. You know, they call out for someone to come. And if you've ever heard a baby crying, you'll know that they cry. And as they cry, they go through different types of crying. As the baby finally has cried for a long time, as it calms down, usually if you pick it up in your arms, you can feel the tension. You can feel that their chest starts to move more rhythmically. And you can feel real relief from them. It comes from the depths of their lungs. Whereas a child that's then intentionally left to cry for a little bit too long, I mean, they'll also stop their crying eventually. But if you haven't gone to them, they will often fall asleep exhausted, breathless. Perhaps they felt isolated. They'll certainly have a lot of grief. They do feel overwhelmed. And there's a little bit of despair in there. And the reason I wanted to note about the despair is because despair is a resonance that I sometimes pick up with people who have asthma that is very low in the lungs. Maybe you're crying out when you were a baby. Maybe someone did come, but it was met with a kind of punishment of some time, you know, even if it's not a physical punishment. It might be an emotional withdrawal or rejection from the person who came. You know, maybe they're a bit rough, or the person came but they were unhappy or angry or resentful towards you. You felt like they came, but you felt you were a nuisance because you needed attention. Now, all of these are contributing factors to asthma. I've noticed them in the energy field often, that these kinds of emotions, especially this feeling of being a nuisance or and feeling overwhelmed and wanting to ask for help but not feeling as if you in some ways ought to, these can be attributable to asthma. All of these things, all of these can result in priming, I think, for asthma later on. They don't themselves create it, but what happens is that there's a priming. And when the priming is in place, all you need is a set of circumstances that are very similar, and that priming is triggered and asthma can begin. Some of the priming I do find is in the chakras. I see it as priming as wounds in the chakras. It's as if the wounds have got little the chakras have got little wounds that are like cuts in them, and the energy can't move quite right in the chakras when that happens. And there are some major energetic wounds that show up in the chakras. And these are rejection, abandonment, humiliation, betrayal, and also injustice. Could your asthma attack happen whenever combinations of circumstances around you open up or rest on those chakra wounds that you carry from way back when? It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Let's take a break, and next we'll take a walk with you as a toddler.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like, suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Asthma is complicated, and my show today is going to be shining a light as much as I can on some of what I believe are the lesser known contributing factors to those asthma attacks. From an energetic perspective, we're looking at asthma. What could prime you, and where is it in your energy field, so that you can actually create change and perhaps remove blocks or do some adjustments or corrections or bring balance and light into those particular energy fields, and use asthma as an intention for the correction. Perhaps if any of these contributing factors that I'm going to be sharing with you is something that you recognize, that might give you one of those sort of aha moments. I know I've said this earlier in my show, and maybe, just maybe, you could then arrive at some form of healing journey for yourself. So if this is something that would help you to know about, or you know someone that suffers with asthma, then I have lots more to share in the show today, and I'm glad you're still here. So we're looking at potential undercurrents, energetic dissonances, anything that might contribute to priming you to eventually suffer asthmatic attacks later on. Well, now, we've talked a little bit on the show today about priming asthma during the very, very early weeks and months of life and how it shows up in the electromagnetic field, the chakras as wounds, and in the energy shields as triggers. Now, let's look to you as the glorious little toddler that you were. Here is this little being, quite literally, taking their first steps towards being an able, capable human being. And what though if you were small and you found yourself being undermined or corrected all the time, constrained? Maybe one parent was overprotective, they stepped in too quickly. They were overly controlling when they did. Maybe they took over. And this created a sort of a tension, a smothering energy for you. And the other parent, too hard on you. They had high expectations, much beyond your capability to supply as yet. So this is asthma territory. This is an atmosphere that creates the potential for asthma later on. Again, I'm not saying it definitely did, but it's something that contributes to it. You're going to be blocked energetically if this was you. You're going to feel that you can't move because you can't win. Either parent is going to either take over or say that you're not doing enough, but you're left feeling like whenever you make your first moves towards being independent, you end up feeling overwhelmed or incompetent or trapped. Trapped between your parents' perception of what you're capable of. So when this repeats later in life, then an asthma attack may begin. Blocks like this, because really this is a block, they're really debilitating in an energy field. An energy block forms in the airway so that you can't breathe out. You can't make sounds. Maybe your words don't form. You're silenced. If you recall earlier in the show, I mentioned how quickly a baby is born, how their birth, how it can actually be related to asthma. Now, what about walking with the toddler? Let's say you're going to go to the shops and you're taking your toddler for a walk. I don't know if you've ever been for a walk with a toddler. Once they're up in their legs and walking and you go out for a walk, holding their hand, you have to be careful about how fast you walk as an adult. One stride for you is actually a number of strides for a toddler. They find it hard to keep up when you walk at your natural pace for too long. And you'll hear parents of toddlers who are lagging behind saying, "Keep up, go faster, don't drag your feet, you're going to be left behind, we're going, bye-bye." And slow toddlers with frustrated parents either end up being carried or put in a buggy, which means that they can't learn how to walk and pace themselves. Otherwise, they have to learn how to trot if their parents won't slow down. What they need is thoughtful parents that are happy to go at the toddler's own pace. And if that means you have to leave 20 minutes earlier, then leave 20 minutes earlier. Toddlers trying to keep up with parents become breathless and anxious about being left behind. So there you have it. All those wounds in the chakras straight away start to come up, you know, where you feel that you're going to be rejected. Perhaps you'll be abandoned, all right? Maybe there's some kind of injustice. You can see it, can't you? And what about your electromagnetic field? Are my parents angry? Am I going to be punished? This world doesn't feel safe because I just can't keep up. Now, if as an adult, you now felt you were making people wait, would you have an asthma attack? If you felt that you were holding everyone else up, not going fast enough, would you have an attack? Do you have an attack if you feel rushed or not ready yet? That in some way you don't want to race and yet you have to keep up. You may have asthma attacks when you walk or jog or run. Could this be linked? Anything that makes you feel too slow or makes you go too fast. We're back to looking at being born again, aren't we? Right? And also about everything to do with being made to do things that are too fast or slow. We're back to talking about that little sperm who felt overwhelmed and rushed because he had to, or she had to, or it had to get there first. Toddlers being breathless and anxious about being left behind. This often appears in an energy field as an opposing block, all right? So the way I describe it is the energy flows along a strand from both directions within the same energy strand and it clashes at the point where they connect, all right? And it creates a frozen block of inertia where energy can't move forward and it can't move back. And you, if you've got a block like this in your airway, because throughout the body, energy can become blocked in all sorts of different places, spinal column, tissues, right? But if it's blocked like this in your airway, then asthma is primed and becomes possible. So think these words. Think breathless, anxious about being abandoned, being controlled and punished, being rushed. Can I just say that those around you will not have realised that this could have affected you, right? And they might have had no conscious understanding that it was priming you for asthma. Many contributing factors come along with asthma. It's not just about the things that I've spoken about today. I mean, you know, if you look at intergenerational timelines, for example, this is energy that you've inherited from your ancestors. And you may know if your energy had challenges with their lungs, you know, emphysema, for example, or bronchitis. These are often present in the ancestry that primes for asthma. But these energetic inheritances, they're actually passed down through the generations. But breathing difficulties are not necessarily going to happen. It's not a foregone conclusion. It's just that it often manifests according to the conditions that are present. So if you've inherited energy that can be associated with breathing difficulties, and then you have any number of different things that happen to you in your environment, it can manifest as asthma because of the nurturing in the environment you're in. The asthma is almost pre-programmed in the energy field. It's pre-primed. Anybody else in your family might have had emphysema because of the nurturing or the pre-priming environment that they were in, or bronchitis and so forth. It's all the same. But being primed for asthma does not mean you're definitely going to have it. And the generations, the intergenerational timelines, or the actions and activities of those around you, the energy fields of those around you, they don't consciously make a contribution. It's a contribution that happens. It just depends on what you're exposed to, when you're exposed to it, how you respond to it, you know, consciously or unconsciously as well. All of these things are going to affect your energy field, become programmed and embedded in it. And then they sit there like a program waiting to be activated. As I've said many times, asthma's complicated. And on my show today, I've really been focusing on what I feel are some lesser known energetic contributors that could be factors associated with asthma attacks that you or someone you know may be having. It's asthma from an energetic perspective today on my Future Self Energetic show. I sincerely hope this has helped you or someone you know. If it has, please send me an email and let me know. Send it to Amanda@futureselfenergetics.com, because I'd love to hear from you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The station that makes you feel good.
That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can up-level any part of your life. You can find out more about me, my courses, and Future Self Energetics at my lifestyle website, beyondthegoldenegg.com. I'm also on Twitter. You can find me at Ask Amanda Nelson. Focus on the quality of the energy in your energy field. Focus on your entire energy field every single day, because a great energy field has the potential to change anything. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again next week. Love to you and yours. Bye-bye.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words "Jesus saves" written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.